So I want to welcome everyone to our fifth class. The first thing I want to do is to help prepare our consciousness for this class. If I can ask everyone just to turn off your cell phones, don't you just put them on mute. Put them aside, put them on mute so they don't bother us for the rest of the class. And I want you just to sit comfortably in your seats, sit straight in your seat without your arms or legs crossed. And let's do a little meditation to prepare ourselves. So let's close our eyes. And it's important to disconnect from the reactive world. The world is designed to make us lose our free will. The world wants to have us react to life's problems, what's going on out there, the chaos, things that we see we want. It's important always to just pause, take a step back, and ask yourselves, what do you want? Let's start there. Because based on what you want is where you'll be led. If you just want something small, so all of creation helps you get that small thing. But if you want something big or you want everything, then say it. Say to yourself that you want everything. Before hearing a class such as ours, it's important to tell the Creator that you want to know everything. Not just one of your problems to be solved, all your problems to be solved. Just to see that this works, think of one area in your life where you do need support or an answer, clarity. So on one hand, we think macro, we say we want it all, but I'm also being specific at the same time, micro. And tell yourself and tell the universe that you want to and you're ready and you're open to hear a message today. As long as you're open, the universe, all the energies that exist, support to give you that message. So what I want to do now, you can open your eyes. I want to just create closure from last week's class. In your groups, I want you just to discuss a few points that we learned last week about pain, the virtues of pain, pre-pain, which are the messages that the universe gives us before we go through something challenging, any revelations you had, any thoughts you had, or any questions you have. I'll spend 5 to 10 minutes taking some questions, and then we're going to move on into a very exciting chapter of Kabbalistic wisdom, which is understanding deep Kabbalistic astrology as it relates to our tikkun. A blueprint of understanding ourselves better. Are you excited about that? Yeah. All right. So take a couple minutes with your group, discuss, come up with questions you have, and we'll go from there. All right, guys. So, anything anybody wants to share or ask? Nicole, please.
Hi, my name is Nicole. Oh, here we go. So, I was talking with the group, and we were wondering how much is too much. I know it's good to have empathy for others, but sometimes you can almost get trapped in their energy and it brings you down to a lower level. And I guess what is the right balance or how do you feel for someone but not also bring your energy down so low?
Great question. Everyone understands Nicole's question? All right. So how do you know when is too much when you're getting involved in someone's process or going down into the mud with them or into the darkness with them? So it's not always clear. I would always preface by saying, whenever you're helping someone, to always ask the Creator to help you be a channel and to ask for help. If you go in just with your own understanding of how to solve a problem or how to help somebody, it will always be limited. We always need to ask for guidance. Always, always. Even before I'm answering this question, I'm taking a moment and I'm saying, forget about everything I think I know about this topic. Creator, how would you want me to answer this question? Because there's infinite amounts of information I don't know about Nicole, about everyone in this room, about everyone who's going to hear this lesson. I need to be able to say something that's going to relate to billions of people, not just now, but forever. And only the Creator understands that whole picture. We don't. So that's number one. Number two, it's always about how can you be most effective to help someone. If you get lost in someone's process and you get drained by someone and you get to a place where even you get frustrated or you feel negative and you get angry, can you help them? No. So it's always a balance. And Kabbalah is always about finding that balance to help. And I've seen both. I've seen people go to the extreme of helping to the point where they're not effective anymore. And I've seen people shut down and be cold and create boundaries in space because maybe they're afraid. You have to always find the balance of how to help the person. And to always be asking yourself, is this helping? Is this not helping? How could I be helping more? Creator, guide me. So if you don't have the light, you can't give people the light. So you have to first connect yourself. Put on the oxygen mask for yourself before you put it on for them. Great question. What else? Who else would like to either share story, share breakthrough? Maybe someone who shared last week. Maybe something you saw full circle. It's on the tip of your tongue. You're a little nervous, but it can actually help people if you share. Yes?
Hi, my name is Sepide. Actually, he always tell me keep the balance, and I don't. I go to an extreme, and actually, when you go to an extreme, people kind of, like, what is wrong? Something is wrong.
Something is wrong with you.
Actually, they get scared, and they run away when you give too much.
Yeah, so, very good. You heard what Sepide just said?
Because I always give too much, and I think in my
But why design, do they run away?
Because I think they get overwhelmed, I think.
What does that mean, they get overwhelmed?
It's too much for them to handle. So I learned to keep the balance, and it really, really went a long way with work, with family, with everything. And it really helped me. He always told me that. But then again, my sign, I'm a Cancer. Actually, my everything, sun, moon, everything is a Cancer.
Wait, you're Cancer, sun, moon, and rising?
Everything.
You're triple Cancer?
Triple Cancer. So, and Cancer people are very sensitive and emotional. So we go further with everything. When I see someone is crying, I cry. I honestly...
For no reason.
No, I see someone is sad, he doesn't take me to funerals because I really cry. I mean, I feel there. Or So... the balance is really important.
Balance for you. You are triple Cancer. You are all the way water. It's all about emotions, fears, addictions.
Oh my
God. You have to be careful, yes. So you have to find the balance, which is Earth. Now, what sign are you?
He's a Virgo.
Virgo, so he's Earth. It's a soulmate sign.
Actually, we are soulmates.
Today we are soulmates. Today.
No, every day. Knock on wood. Everybody say we wish we are, like, everybody say you guys are.
It's amazing. It's amazing. We don't want to talk about it too much because you never know. I can tell you stories of how people said the same thing on the mic. And then you should see what happened in Kabbalah 3. They're sitting at separate tables. So we never want to ever expose it too much. Okay? But that's great. Water, because of the over emotion, needs Earth. We're not there yet at astrology, but that's a good observation. Okay, very good. Who else would like to share? Yes? I love when people volunteer each other. That's amazing. Please, yes.
My name's Madeline, and my question is, if you go through a lot of pain, so we choose it, right, to go through that pain.
What do you mean we choose it?
Well, if things happen to you in life, such as with myself, I had children. I've already lost 4 children. And so how does that happen?
4 of your children have passed away?
I remarried, and my husband had 4, and I had 4. We had 4 each, you know, boys. And then together we had a child, and that baby died the same day that it was born. And then his youngest died. Then my, after we separated, his youngest died. And then my youngest died. And then another, just like that. So now we have 2 left. He has 2, and I have 2. I can't see me choosing that. Like, how did I choose that, and how do you change it? Because I wouldn't want to lose my other 2.
Of course. Oh, nobody would want that. Okay, so it's not that we are choosing the pain or choosing that. So I was going to say this for another class, but I'll introduce it in a small way. I think I mentioned this when it comes to children. There's a whole other plan when it comes to children. When it comes to children under the age of 12 for a girl or 13 for a boy, their souls aren't yet solidified in this world. They come for very specific missions, and it's not their own personal mission yet until they cross that barrier. So when a child graduates, a girl passes her 12th birthday or a boy his 13th, he's now graduated and his own tikkun process starts. Everything that happens before that is strictly to affect the process of those around the child. In fact, children who pass away before those ages have come as volunteers knowing that they will leave the world. And they chose to come to this world for your sake, to allow a process to unfold, to bring about a series of events that are extremely painful, that are necessary to either cleanse or to push you to grow to another level. And there's a past life connection also. That child could have been the effect of something you did, or you could have been enemies or friends or relationships. There's so many complex dynamics. All we know is that it's perfect. It's hard to see it when it's happening, obviously. And that's why we have these tools to just take it step by step and parcel it out and try to deal with it one by one. The only reason we choose pain is because by default, we didn't choose spirituality. So if I'm not choosing transformation, by default, I'm saying that I'm choosing pain. No one's actually choosing pain actively. They are reactively choosing pain, passively, involuntarily choosing pain, because growth must happen. You know, a person has to move forward. The planets are rotating. Everything orbits. Nothing stands still in this world. Even atoms and electrons, everything's moving. So if I don't move, the universal energies, physical and spiritual, are moving. And I'm not moving, I will be taken by the current. So Kabbalah is like the speedboat. I don't want to be taken by a current. I want to go in my own boat, in my own pace, but forward, with comfort. That's spirituality. That's what we're learning. Great question. Thank you, Madeline. Who else would like to share? Ask. The things you share and ask help so many people. You have no idea. I hear it after class. I get emails. I hear from other people telling me, wow, you know, I had that issue. I didn't want to share it. Changed my life that she shared. Yes.
Hi, I'm Izzy. I guess my question is about different kinds of pain.
Izzy, can you stand just sure. So people can see you?
Great. With different kinds of pain, something happening to you like on the outside, which would be a traumatic event, versus like existential pain or depression or something, and like if there's a difference between those two things and if they affect the soul differently?
They both have the same intelligence. So some people have private pain. Some people have public pain. Pain hits each person in the most effective way for them. So pain is there to get you to a place where you can't stand it anymore and you decide to make a different decision in life, right? It awakens a person to think differently, to act differently, to move, right? A person is usually stationary spiritually and pain comes. It forces them to move or to ask. Now, some people are so stubborn that when the pain comes, they don't move. They do things to create more pain. So this is a problem. And either it gets worse or there is a mercy default that comes in that says, you know what, this person's never going to learn their lesson. Just throw them a bone and we'll figure it out later. So that reality also happens. Like if you say to the creator, I'm never going to change. I'm done. I'm just going to be like this. You might actually, you'll kind of be divorced from the process and things might lighten up a little bit. But you're not in the game anymore. You might just be given a little bit of mercy. You know, Satan will just give you a bone and that's it. But the idea is we want to be in the game because we want to achieve our highest fulfillment. We want to achieve the purpose of why we came to this world. All right, thanks, Izzy. Great.
Hi, I'm Storm. So I'm going through a pattern with my dad. I've talked about it a bit. When I was young, there was like abuse in the household with his partner. And I was about 8 or 9, been going on a few years. I told a friend, she told her mom told my foster mom, it all came out. And my dad confronted me in front of the woman who'd always told me he'd never believe me. And obviously as a kid, you're frightened of that. So, you know, and then basically my father didn't believe me and I didn't see my dad for a couple of years. And thus the pattern began. So, you know, now he's left that lady. They've had kids together. They were together a long time. And for the last 10 years, he's really been trying to make up for it. Like
he's trying to make up for it with you.
He's apologized. About 10 years ago, I was about 26, he apologized, like in floods of tears, because it finally clicked, because he'd seen it with her. And I'm very grateful for that. However, about a couple of weeks ago, he has a new girlfriend now of 3 years. And some friends of my mom and his from 40 years ago posted a photo of my mom and him, 20 years old, like this on Facebook. And he and my mom have always stayed friends. And he has said it's really disrespectful for people to be sharing photos of them. Then my parents were together like a year. And I obviously got a bit upset about it and confronted my dad and said, like, how is that an embarrassment to you?
Why did you confront him? What did it have to do with you?
Because it bothered my mom and...
Why did you get involved?
Yeah. Yeah, why did I get involved?
Why did you get involved?
Because it hurts and it's still from back then.
Why did you get involved? Why did you get involved in their movie?
Because it feels like it's my movie.
If it's your movie, you have to go through the steps of proactive confrontation.
Which... I did a little bit.
Do you feel like you confronted your father truly because it's what the creator wanted you to do and you really wanted to help and you knew that's how you're going to build?
No.
That's it. You have to ask yourself this question. Always. By the way, we meddle in other people's issues way too much.
Right.
I'm not saying you did or you didn't.
No, you're right. I did. But my struggle now is he doesn't want to talk to me. And he said, no one is coming between me and
because
my...
Because he feels judged.
Yeah, absolutely. And he wouldn't even talk to me, to be honest. He hung up on me before I even got to talk to him about it. So it's just repeating 20 years, 30 years ago, but...
So what you got to do is internally realize, I'm going to stop being... I'm not going to involve myself in petty stuff anymore. I'm going to think big. Remember, we talked about this before. Think big. Big desires. Let people resolve what they want to resolve. Tell yourself, I just want everyone to be happy. I don't have an issue with it. Tell your dad, I realize it's petty. I shouldn't get involved. I love you. You know, that's it. Don't make it an issue.
It was his birthday, like about a week later, and I messaged him, and he didn't respond. You know, like you were talking about throwing a bone, like I feel like he has a lot of trauma in his life. And yeah, you're right, I shouldn't have meddled, and that was my bad. But I'm kind of worried that I might not ever see him again because he's getting old. And, you know, it's like I'm watching his Tekken play out, and it's like, why can't you just figure it out? Why can't you just make the right choice, you know?
No. The best thing, it's okay. It's good. It's a new lesson that it's good for other people to hear as well. The best thing a son or a daughter can do for his or her parents is be the light. That's it. Trust me, you can't, the only thing that elevates the soul of a living parent, and even more so a deceased parent, is the spiritual work that you do privately, with or without them. I know that if the spiritual work that I do is protecting my parents. Now, are my parents spiritual? Maybe, maybe not. Not in the line that I'm going in. You know, they're living their life. But I know that what I do builds protection for them in one way or another, and it helps. The positive angels, because your souls are connected. So it's about being effective. We want to be effective in our care for our family. First thing, you be the light. In all your ways, watch what happens. Your father will live longer. If you act like the light, your father will live longer and live a better life. That's what you need to commit to. Okay? Great. All right, guys. Ready for the fun stuff. So, everybody knows what their sign is. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Raise your hand if you're Pisces. Let me get an idea of what's going on here. Pisces, raise your hand. One Pisces? One? Two? Two? That's it? That's all I got? Two Pisces? Okay, raise your hand if you're a Virgo. Virgos? All right, we got about four, five. Raise your hand if you're Aries. Okay, raise your hand if you're Leo. Your sun sign, Leo. One Leo? That's it? All right, Cancer? Okay. Libra? Okay. Taurus? Okay. Capricorn? Okay. Scorpio? Hiding? What, just one? Okay. Sagittarius? One? Two? Okay. What did I miss? Aquarius? I did Virgo. Gemini. Nice. Okay. I said Aquarius? Aquarius. All right. This is how we're going to do it, guys. Stand up, everybody. Everyone, we're going to now mix up and we're going to join with our signs. Yes. So starting over here where the ladies are, let's do Libras and Geminis over here. Two air signs that are slightly similar. Over here, let's do the warring planets, Aries and Scorpio. We'll be over here. Let's go Capricorn and Taurus over here. Cancer and Pisces over here. Leo and Virgo. Here? You're already here. The Leo doesn't want to move. The Leo's happy where she is. Sag and Aquarius, over here. All right. Your mission is to discover how you are similar to each other. You'll find two proactive traits, not that you heard about your sign, but that you believe represents your group. Two proactive traits, And give me two reactive traits where you feel your tikkun exists. All right? Come up with two proactive, two reactive. Learn about each other. What's this table over here? Virgo Leo? Wow.
Watch out.
Did I? All right. All right. That's the way we got to do it. All right. Great. I'll give you a couple minutes. Connect with each other. Learn about each other. Find similarities, divorces, kids, different situations. Find some, challenging childhood, challenging parents. Throw stuff out. Watch and observe your own personality traits as you're doing it. Please, go for it. I'll give you 5 minutes to do that. I forgot to mention one more thing. My bad. You're supposed to do it amongst your own signs. What was the point? Your own signs. I know you're getting to know each other. There was a reason why it happened. There was a reason. You guys needed to connect. But I need you to divide amongst your own signs. I just realized that. All right, everyone. Did you guys have fun? I should join the Pisces group. That's correct. I am Pisces. All right. So, all right. Let's learn a little bit about what's going on here. Kabbalistic astrology is as old as the beginning of creation. We are not talking about horoscopes here. We're talking about an understanding of the spiritual blueprint of our soul. Things are not random. Astrology is not just something someone made up. The first soul to reveal the secrets of astrology to us was from Abraham, the patriarch who lived over 4,000 years ago. Basically, the way Kabbalistic astrology works is that the whole point of why we came to this world is that we have a correction, what we call Tikkun. Tikkun means correction. That's why we came to this world. We came to correct the part of our vessel that is vessel-like and not God-like. And you know what that point of correction is because it's your soft sore spot. It's the place that you're most afraid, you're most weak, you're most sensitive. You take things personally. You have reoccurring challenges in that area. It keeps coming back. It's the part you don't like. It's the part that when you meet someone and subconsciously you believe they can touch that spot, you avoid them. You judge them. It says that when you meet someone that your soul knows can really help you with your tikkun, your satan will judge this person nonstop. And so it makes us think that if I have someone that I can't stand or that I judge all the time, this person actually contains the key or the secrets to me overcoming my correction. And that's why my satan wants to avoid them. Who do I like to hang out with? The people who pump the good side of me. If I'm Aquarius and I'm humanitarian and I love space and I have a vision, then I love people who support that and I want to hang out with them. I don't want to hang out with people who limit me, require me to be intimate, require me to have a personal connection. I don't want that. So knowing astrology can help us understand ourselves better. And what we have here, we're going to learn about our sun sign, our rising and our moon. That's probably just 70% of what's going on. We have different houses, different planets, different factors that make up other aspects of ourselves. So even though you could be a Scorpio, but you feel that you have maybe Taurus tendencies or traits, it might mean you have an influence of Taurus. Myself, like I'm Pisces, but I have, if I'm not mistaken, I forgot last time I checked, 4 or 5 planets in Scorpio. So I will have the Scorpio aspects influencing me in a certain way that my Pisces will not. Your soul, according to its perfect DNA spiritually and tikkun-wise, needs to be born at a certain time where all the energies of this world are affecting it in the right way. It says that everything you see physically also exists spiritually. Every physical component has a spiritual energy that's controlling it. That's why when we do the work spiritually, it's so much more effective than trying to manipulate things physically. This world is a shadow of the upper world. I'm looking at you. You're just a shadow of what's happening spiritually. So when I work on myself spiritually, I'm in effect changing you, the shadow. Does that make sense? So it's so much, so time consuming and so draining to try to fix things in the physical world. You first have to fix it in the spiritual, so the shadow changes. The projector is putting on a new movie for me. Gravity, for example, is a physical energy. Gravity's spiritual source is called the selfish nature. So the counterpart of gravity is our selfishness. That's why the Kabbalists say something interesting, that when you finally overcome all your negativity, you'll be unlimited and you can even fly. What does it mean to fly? Maybe yes, maybe no, physically fly, but it means that you can be everywhere at any moment, all the time. Can a person get a feeling or a premonition of something that's happening across the world? Yes or no? But you're not there physically, but you believe in it. You believe in it. So the physical planets, they're just planets. Don't give them too much attention. They represent a spiritual energy that's being channeled into the world, that's affecting each one of us. Your soul, some souls wait until the perfect time to come down. They wait in like the lobby of souls, in the waiting room of souls. Sometimes a woman can't get pregnant for that reason. Sometimes babies come and they go. Sometimes a soul comes and then souls needed elsewhere, something else happens. You know, when we had our first child, my wife would always ask the doctor, so, you know, is it gonna come early, is it gonna come late? What's the statistics say? You know what the doctor always answered? When what? When he wants to come. I said, are you a Kabbalist? He never gave the scientific answer, which is what we wanted. He's going to come when he wants to come. It's like the only spiritual thing he said. I mean, he wants, he can decide when he wants. But they were so fixated by that. And it's true. The soul comes at the exact moment where the energies all line up to help influence its tikkun process perfectly to fix it. So it needs to come exactly. It's to be a Scorpio with a rising Taurus and a Gemini moon. Ah, come in. Right at that moment. Ah, but the woman, she decided to induce, and the doctors decided to do the C-section. No. The child decided when to come. The child, that energy then puts a certain type of pain, thoughts, influence, desires into the doctors, nurses, and the mother, and it happens. Does that make sense? It's beautiful. So the soul must come exactly. Your soul had to come at the exact same, premature, overdue, all decided by the child, by the soul and the tikkun process of the child. All right? So we have the sun sign. Determines your basic approach to life and your general nature. Your moon sign reveals your inner self. Gives insight into the way you love, the way you feel, controls your emotions, as well as governs your moods. Person's moon sign, you know their moon sign? You can understand their moods better. Esti, what's your moon sign? You're a Pisces. Do you agree with being a Pisces moon? Very Pisces moon. Quiet, intuitive, psychic. The unguarded you. It also, a person's moon sign comes out when they're by themselves and nobody's watching. Or in extremely stressful situations, you bring out the way they react emotionally. That's to their moon. Their rising sign is the mask that they wear. the way others will view you, the way you come across. So I'm Taurus rising. Taurus rising, and I realize all my life I hate clothing that is rough. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. You know, like I need to get into my pajamas right away. Can't go with my suit at home and sit. My wife can be in her suit or dress or whatever. She can go to sleep in it. Me and my wife have the exact same chart besides one planet, because we were born on the same day. Same day, same year. So our charts are identical, except we were born 2 hours apart. So our rising is different. I'm Taurus rising. She's Leo rising. So I like to be in comfortable clothing when I get home. She doesn't care what. She's eating. The food can spill all over the clothes. Whatever, it doesn't matter. For me, it has to be compartmentalized. All right, let's go through the signs. All right, you want to take a photo? All right. Tikkun according to the signs. Pisces. Where's the Pisces? What'd you guys come up with? Use the mic. Okay, just you're the only Pisces in the room? Yeah. Me and you. Me and you. All right, what'd you come up with?
For proactive.
Proactive? Let's go with reactive first. Two reactives.
Let's see here. Secretive.
Okay.
Too sensitive.
Good. Proactive.
Proactive. Sensitive.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah. Spiritual. Creative.
Very good. The reactive aspects of the Pisces. Dreamers. Daydreaming, believing in realities that don't really exist. Illusionary view of love. I can't tell you how many difficult situations I've had with Pisces falling in love. I tell Pisces, pause. I found my soulmate, pause. But I know it for sure, pause. I want to live the rest of my life with them, pause. I already planned the wedding, pause. Wait. Just wait. Allow reality to set in. See what's going on. Don't get reactive around love. Pisces, and you got Pisces in your chart, you can be influenced this way. Addictive personality, very dangerous. Pisces need energy. The Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, so it's the farthest from the light of the creator, even though it's also the most spiritual, meaning they're also closest to finishing their correction. But the Pisces are ruled by planets that have lack. So Pisces feel lack. They can be very clingy. They can be needy. They need energy. So the correction of the Pisces is to transform that. Extreme fear of being judged, similar to the Libra. Pisces hate confrontation, hate to be judged. What sign, what symbol represents the Pisces? The fish. That's why try to confront the Pisces. Tell the Pisces, come meet me. I have to tell you something that's going to be very hard for you to hear. Try to grab the fish. Swim away, you never see them again. I know when I'm teaching Kabbalah, and if I see something that a Pisces is doing wrong, I cannot confront them on it right away. Because if I do, I'll never see them again. Almost always, I'm asking someone what their sign is before I'm having a communication with them that's in depth. Escape artists, right? Okay. Proactive. Altruistic. Sensitive, like he said, Alex said. Spiritually evolved, very spiritually evolved people. Great listeners. Great listeners. Listen all day long to you. Great understanders. Our sound guy, Johnny. He's our sound guy because he's a great listener. He's Pisces, yeah. Psychic and intuitive. So. Okay? Pisces feel everything. Everything. Me and my wife don't even talk at home. We just meditate on each other. I say something, I'm sitting on the couch, I say something, it goes into her brain, she throws it back. All right. Next sign. Aries. Raise your hand, Aries. All right, in the corner. What'd you guys get? Give me one reactive, one proactive.
Yeah, we'd said overthinking's a big one for us.
Overthinking for the Aries? Okay. I mean, keep going. That was good.
A little controlling.
A little controlling?
Wanting to be a perfectionist?
Yes.
judging for some of us. For some of us, no, we discussed that one.
What about proactive?
Fearless, adventurous, risk-taking, and proud.
Wow. It's almost everything I wrote.
Yay.
Reactive, expectations, impulsive. Think mainly about themselves. They are considered to be the most selfish sign. It's like the ram. It's the ram. What do we know about the ram? The ram, if he can't have it, he wants to destroy the whole thing. He doesn't want anybody to have it. It's like a child also. Aries are very like childlike. I once had this person that came to me and goes, I can't believe this person said that. And it's like always they're upset that this person is like just says things, like a child says them. I said, she's just Aries. Oh, just Aries. They don't mean it. They're just saying like a child says things to you. Like, oh, hey, what's that big mole on your head? What? What? Honey, you can't say those things. What's that big pimple? Easily bored. Proactive side of the Aries. No fear when handling life's challenges. No fear. They'll run right into it. Adventurous. Cute. Youthful. Oh. Always look cute. They always look cute, the Aries. That whole table over there is just going to look cute for the rest of their lives. Doesn't matter. You're 50, 60, you're just going to be cute. Yes, Nicole.
I'm big into astrology, and I know, like, I'm a Gemini, so I match well with Leo, Aquarius, as far as, like, dating and different things. But so should you try to find a sign, like, are you going to match better to a sign that you're more, like, compatible with, or but you and your wife are the same sign, so I guess it's okay? Are you soulmates? Can you be soulmates with, like, the same sign, or do you?
Because I've seen you can be soulmates with any sign besides Aries and Scorpio. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No, but it depends. Spiritually evolved people, that you're supposed to rise above your signs. So the idea is that if you looked at my chart, you shouldn't be able to recognize any of my chart, any of my reactive. So the idea is to connect to the 13th level, which is above the 12 signs. That's why 13 in Kabbalah, in Hebrew, numerical value of 13 is love, unity, and oneness. Those are the numerical values of those words. Which means that when a person rises above his tikkun nature of his sign, rises above all his signs, that he has the ability to love. He has the ability to feel oneness. Until then, everything is still about him or her.
And actually, one other thing too. There's so many people, like, are we all soulmates or connected? But there's so many people you interact with, like this table, my family, coworkers. People come and go out of your life constantly. Yes. All those souls
all
are,
those
like, a
souls
part of us.
Have been designed, articulated by the Creator for you.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. All right. Let's go to the next. Taurus. Where are the Taurus? Taurus, over here? Were you shy? You're like, no, don't bother me. I'm good where I am. Okay. Taurus. Well, let's just go through the list. Reactive sign to the Taurus. Stubborn. Need for stability. Very hard. I had a Taurus colleague once. If I moved his chair a little bit or moved some item on his desk, he would immediately come into the room and go, who moved it? Need established space, home, existence. Craves the comfort zone. Possessive. Hoarders. They have so much. They keep everything, all the junk. From every festival and carnival and dinky dink, they're holding on to all of it. Old clothes, magazines, shoes. Proactive, optimistic, persistent, loyal, very dependable. Everyone gets reactive. When we go to the next slide too, Greg. All right. Ready for the next? Gemini, where are the Geminis? All right, Geminis. Reactive, impatient, true? So, superficial, true? No, I'm joking. Can be. Doesn't mean you are, can be. Non-committal, yes? Single? Single?
No,
not single. Not by choice. Okay. Anxious, yes? Yes. All right, proactive, intellectual, friendly, desire for knowledge, sociable, witty and funny. I get like, yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. You have more? You have a whole list? All right. We have to go through all the signs. All right, ready for the next? By the way, this is important to know if you live with a Gemini, if you have Gemini moon, Gemini rising. It's good to understand all the signs because we interact with them. You have kids. First thing I did, first 3 hours after my son was born, called the astrologer. We have three world-famous astrologers in the Kabbalah Center. They're amazing, booked like months out. I called her. I said, give me 5 minutes. Tell me about my son. Amazing. Because you need to know how to talk to him. He's Taurus with a rising Libra, Aquarius moon. He needs his freedom. He likes his food in a certain way, comfort. He likes his pajamas, soft pajamas like me. Tikkun according to the signs. Cancer, reactive of the Cancer. Can be a challenging sign. Many fears, fear-ridden. Thin skin, controlling. Overly emotional. Can be needy and clingy. Can be. Yes. Hard for the Cancer sign to be with, for example, what sign? What sign would be a major tikkun in his or her face? This table over here. Right? What do we got? Scorpio Aries, especially the Scorpio Aries. This would be a difficult relationship. But where's the Aquarius? Aquarius over here. Aquarius with the Cancer can be very challenging because the Aquarius wants to be free. The Cancer wants to be holding on. So there's a war. Proactive, empathy. Sepita said, crying at everything. Good, the bad, a spoon fell on the floor, crying. Great business sense. The Cancers have a lot of money and you don't know about it. They don't know about it. They're hiding it and they don't show it to you. Intuitive, sensitive, protective, very family oriented. Very loyal, very loyal. Until you get hurt. When you get hurt, Cancer gets hurt, it can be challenging. Cancers, if they get hurt early on, especially in relationships, they may not have a relationship for a long time. Leo. Leos, where are we? Over here. Two Leos? Okay. The rest of the Leos were too good for the class. They're teaching their own class. Self-centered, can be. Pride, needs praise and compliments. Consistently, it's so easy. It's the easiest thing. I'm at an event, I'm at a party, I'm at a whatever, I find out they're a Leo. I just say good things about them the whole time. They give you the keys to their home. Everything. Whatever you want. Just compliment. Wow, it's amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. I bet you're amazing. That's why I don't know you. I bet you're amazing. It's true. It's true. And you know what's funny? You could be a Leo hearing this, and 5 minutes later, if I do it, you'll still be okay with it. Like, you're amazing. You are? Cool. I am. Can be lazy. Grandiose. Always know the Leo by the hair. The hair is very... Anyways, we have the great lion's mane hair. Love that. Dominating. Proactive. Generous. Caretakers. Charismatic. Energetic. Loyal. Leadership. Okay. Next. Virgo. Where are the Virgos? Most Virgos in the class. That's what we got. Reactive side. Judgmental. That was the easy one. Focusing on what needs to be better. They see the perfection and then they work backwards. Okay? It's not that they see what's wrong. They see the way it should be and then they're upset with you that it's not that way. Sense of superiority. You get that feeling always that they're better than you. They think they're horrible people. But you think that they think they're better than you. They're just in depression and beating themselves up constantly. Can come off very cold and dry. Like they don't care, but they care a lot. Fussy. I just like that word, fussy. I put it up there. I'm like, where could I use the word fussy? Reliable. Sees the details and is meticulous. Good with systems. Watchful. Very observant. Watching you. Be careful. Analytical. Nothing gets passed. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Next sign. Libras. We got the Libras here? All right. Love Libras. So.
Not as much as we love ourselves.
That's true. Fear of failure drives the Libra to success. Fear of being judged and being less than. Mood swings. Overly concerned with vanity. Sometimes a little too much on the makeup. Can be, maybe not. Pleasers, big pleasers. People pleasing. Major tikkun that once they overcome it can be very powerful. Libras can be very powerful signs. Sees both sides. Very sociable, fair, good public speakers. Most committed when they decide. So when they make a decision, no stopping them. When they haven't made a decision, it's a mess. So Libra is a sign of the scales. See, something we're going to learn, hopefully in future classes, looking for justice is one of the most reactive things a person can do. If you want things to be fair, you're going to have a miserable life. Because fair doesn't coincide with the light of the Creator. It's like people want fairness, truth, justice. These are the people that often destroy things. The opposite of that, because that can be the Libra tikkun, looking for things to be fair, and then they get upset or reactive and try to make things fair. The solution to that is mercy. Injecting mercy and helping people go through their process, forget about fair and what's right and wrong. Give mercy. Give compassion and come to each person on their level, knowing that they all have their own baggage. Scorpios, where are we? Hiding in the corner. Scorpios like their corner. They like to know that their backs are protected. Reactive, anger, controlling, vindictive, self-destructive, manipulative. Yeah. It can be challenging. It can be challenging. I had a parent once with a Scorpio child. Many children, Scorpio child. I observed it once. Scorpio child came. His mom said, Jeff, you can't go to your friend's house today. You have to do your homework. Child was 7. You don't love me. It's because you don't love me. That's why you don't want me to go. You hate me. And I was like, no, I don't hate you. We love you. You just can't go. You have homework. No, you don't love me. And runs out of the room. Issue with feeling the need to be loved, abandonment issues, come from past life. Intuitive to the extreme, almost in a scary way. If you're gonna stick it to them, they're gonna see it, and they're suspicious of it. They feel it. Goal-oriented, nurturing, can be your best friend. I was once walking with a student who was a Scorpio in New York. We were just talking, and somebody bumped my shoulder, and he's like, "Do you want me to kill him for you?" I said, "Is it?" And he was like, "Serious?" He's like, "I can kill him." I said, "No, it's cool. Let's just keep walking." It's like, I'm going to protect you. I said, it's all right. Brave. You see, even the way you communicate with Scorpio, if you compliment a Scorpio, they find it suspicious. Compliment a Leo, they find it normal. Right? So you have to know. And it's not a joke. It's like, really, it's like Scorpio likes to be direct. They're afraid you're hiding something from them. So if you come with like a, you come with like a dance, they're not connecting to you. They say, listen, I feel something. Can I tell you the truth? They're in. They trust you now. They have trust because you're gonna tell them the truth. If you're coming with a story and they're like, wait, what's the story? What's the story? What are you doing here? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? Sagittarius, where are we? Reactive, straightforward, too straightforward. Tactless, this is the one we hear the most, just foot and mouth disease. Say something before thinking about it. False certainty. Yes, I believe in it. Yes, they have no clue why. Just it's like fake certainty. Speaks before thinking. Some of the reactive traits of the Sag. Proactive, very happy nature, fun to be around, expansive, big thinkers, big picture, adventurous, risk takers. By the way, what's important to understand is to use our proactive traits to help overcome our reactive traits, right? So the happy nature or the adventure, you have to use the positive aspects of yourself somehow to overcome. In this case, it's almost like people who are happy and adventurous can lead to tactless and kind of bulldozing through things, right? So we have to learn, has it ever happened where you got happy and then all of a sudden you're insensitive to everyone because you're so happy? Has that ever happened? Because again, everything can go to extremes. Every positive thing, Satan wants a piece of. So if you're happy, Satan's going to make you obnoxious and just say things and think you know it all because you're happy, you're in a good mood. So you always have to kind of check yourself and use your positive qualities, balance them to check yourself. Capricorn, here we are. Reactive, can be narrow-minded, fear of lack. That's why they work so hard. Difficulty with spirituality. Difficulty, understand there's a higher power that controls the show, right? Proactive traits of the Capricorn. Responsible, very responsible. Overcoming obstacles, very good at figuring things out, pushing through, making things happen. Very hardworking, very romantic. The most romantic sign. And a tie with which other sign? No. Pisces are romantic in their head. The Taurus, where's the Taurus? Two most romantic and sexual signs. Can be. Put them at the same time. Capricorn, yes, can be. And the Scorpio, of course. Don't forget the Scorpio. Yes. They got Aquarius. It's our last one. Reactive. Unpredictable. Very, very challenging. Insensitive. Can be. Rebellious. Don't like to be boxed in. Oblivious to their own imperfections. Don't follow societal norms. Bad with intimacy. I just ran out of space. I had more. It just doesn't fit on the screen. Proactive. No limitation. Inventive. Big thinkers. Sociable. Brilliant. Good with groups. Impervious to criticism. Humanitarian. Aquarius, how do you talk to an Aquarius? Is everyone taking photos? How do you talk to Aquarius? Just say, hey, walk away. That's it. They'll love you forever. No. I know when I'm talking to Aquarius, if I start telling them what to do, what's wrong with them, Aquarius have the biggest ego of all the signs. All the signs. Their ego is so scary, their ego, because they don't think they have ego. They know they don't have ego. They believe you have the ego. So they don't understand what you're saying. If you say like, oh, you know, there's something wrong with you, they just don't understand what you're saying. What? So when I'm talking to Aquarius, how do you motivate? What's the carrot that you use for Aquarius? You tell them about what can be. What can be if you change, right? If you guys study Kabbalah, it's all yours. The whole world. Everything you want. Just telling them things like from a place of fear or limiting them, they shut down. They run away. You have to talk to them as you can't put them down the way you can't put the Leo down. You have to just say, you know, a person who acts like this, often I've learned it can go bad without directing it towards the Aquarius. I remember sitting with Aquarius once, and she's like, and I knew what her issue was, and I said, you know, it's interesting because I meet so many people who are like this. She's like, I know, so do I. And it's her, I'm talking about her. She's like, it's horrible. I said, it's horrible. We just have to be, because I have Aquarius, I'm half Aquarius, half Pisces. I said, we just have to be careful never to be like that. She's like, you're right. I'm going to make sure if it ever happens, I'm going to be careful of that. So that's it. Just be careful if it ever happens that you're paying attention. She's like, thank you. I said, you're welcome. It's the end of the conversation. So that's our signs. And again, the purpose of why we learn this is not to judge people, obviously. It's to learn about ourselves, to learn about others, to learn how to give, to share, and to communicate. Maybe your mentors can help you with it later, but something I also recommend doing at some point is to do a Kabbalistic chart reading, astrological chart reading. We don't have anybody in Los Angeles that does it, and maybe we need to create a system of how, you know, students can sign up for it over the phone around the world. But something that I personally do every 6 months, and you don't even say a word, and they literally hand you a file of your entire life. Everything you've experienced, every emotion you have, why you have the emotion, why you go through what you go through. And it's spot on every time. The other suggestion I'll make is to read this book. We have a book. If you want to know more about it, it's called Kabbalistic Astrology. It's by our teacher, Rav Berg. And it goes through every sign in detail and also talks about your personal correction if you are a certain sign. So there's something called your lunar node. It exists between the north and the south. It doesn't matter. It's technical jargon. But what it does is it hones in on that deep-rooted tikkun issue that you may have that is hidden that you really came to this world to fix. That's called, when you read the book, it says, if your correction is in this sign, then it explains what it is you need to work on. So I highly recommend it. I didn't alert the bookstore that I was telling you about this. So if we don't have enough, I also believe you can get it online. I also believe you can get a PDF version online as well. Okay. All right, guys. That's it for tonight. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.